Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm gonna set up the speaker and I'm gonna listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Just a couple of guys, just the hours before, in the hours before a massive NFL game right here in our city, or close to it, Chiefs Bills, the pregame show. The Price is Right. CBS just bringing everybody here to town for this game. Just a couple of guys talking about eggs before we start.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bachelor night for me.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm sort of like a cliche when it comes to I'll go home and what do I want to make? It's ironically, because I love to cook, but I love to cook for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be deli dinner, quote, deli dinner,
yeah.
Or it'll be eggs or something. I'll just...
Yeah.
That'll be the point of the night.
That one
sightings,
night.
Isn't it? Friday
that,
night.
I did that on a solo night last week. One night. Yeah, that's yeah. Yeah, I know. It the days of like, ooh, Friday, and I'm on my own.
Yeah,
yeah.
The puppy is a part of this.
Last time I did that, I was asleep in a chair by 9:30. I think it was only probably a couple of weeks.
Oh, ago. I'm like 5-1 to actually get to bed. The odds of me going to bed tonight are not great.
Right.
They're not as good as or. Long as, rather,
yeah,
like
yeah.
The Browns to make the playoffs. They're more like the Broncos. They're more like those odds, you know,
yeah.
or the Bears, somewhere in that range to make the playoffs.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Football Friday on WGR in advance of Chiefs-Bills, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Well, I feel like I've heard it all this week. We started with... Once we spent 3 minutes on the game in Indianapolis on Monday, we got to, like, what does this mean and what are the feelings, you know, like, sort of what is at stake here? And I think I've heard both from callers and from listening to the station at other times and from friends, everything from
mm-hmm.
must win to W-E, whatever.
Yeah.
Today I had my teeth cleaned. And my hygienist always, you know, there's a Bills section of every
mm-hmm,
time
sure.
I go to the dentist.
Gotcha.
You know, they wear Bills shirts on Fridays, like a lot of people at this place. And she said, what do you think, you know, Sunday? I'm like, if they played, if they by the spread, if they played 7 times, the Bills would win 4. Which is a totally unsatisfying answer to a normal person.
Right.
She wants to know which one of the seven will be this game.
What was the reaction to that?
Right? Tell me which of the seven.
Who am I dealing with? Did you
is this guy?
Jam something sharp into your gums at that point?
57? Maybe. That's usually what happens. I don't know if that was the reason, but... So, she's like, yeah, you know, hopefully they win because this is the Super Bowl. Like, well, no, it isn't. We had very much like a caller early in the week.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, well, you know they'll lose in the end. They always lose in the end. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, come on. And then I sort of gave her the, well, why care about it then? You know? She's like, well, it's fun. But it's just so fatalistic.
Well, you know what?
I swear to never be like that. I just will never want to be like that.
I know. I know. I want to defend that being fun, though. Not like. I don't know if I can. How hard do I want to try today? It's Friday.
Good question.
The misery part is an important part. It doesn't mean. And I think I tried to explain this week that the lack of a real penal downside in this game with a loss is preventing me from getting all the way there. I still don't, you know, it's Friday, so we've gotten through the week, and, you know, the game creeps closer. I want them to win more today than I did on Monday. You know, I care more about the outcome than I did on Monday, but I still can't, I can't shake the reality of potentially waking up on Monday morning and going, oh, they're 8-3 and they have a 4-game lead in the division, or maybe still a 5-game lead in the division. Who knows what the, you know, the Dolphins and Jets and Patriots all do. I just don't feel the threat. And without that, you know, I don't know, it just takes a lot out of it for me. And that is sort of, isn't that predicated on some form of misery? I mean, it's a form of the juice that I need. I need that anxiety. And I think your hygienist, be too far around. Maybe I'm too far from the bend, and she's around the bend too far. Somewhere there's a sweet spot in there. But because assuming that they're going to lose, I want to win now because I know I can't beat them when it really matters. Like, I would never want to get there, but I understand the defeatist mentality. I was like that with the Red Sox for years until 2004 happened, and then it just went away. And I've said many times, I miss the quest. You know, once the quest is accomplished, you've done the thing that you wanted so badly to do. It's just sort of, you know, the John Travolta Pulp Fiction meme where you're just sort of looking around like, I don't really know what I'm doing. What else is there to do here? I don't know.
So you're saying we have it actually the best?
Maybe kind of. Yeah.
Take that, Kansas City. Take that, Chiefs.
It's tricky because saying that does not mean I want an endless series of disasters and heartbreaking losses to befall my favorite team. I don't want that. What you want is a hearty chunk of that, and then win, like, oh, relieve the pressure. Then I think it gets a little dicey about how to proceed from there, but you still want the win.
May we ever find out.
And I don't think not everyone is like that. A lot of people love parades and will continue to paint their faces and fiercely defend their team and love their team. And I'm not saying I won't love my team or defend my team. It's different. So the misery, to me, is a necessary part of the recipe. So the threat of it not really being there, I mean, losing to the Chiefs is only going to hurt me so much. You know, if losing to the Chiefs meant I'm behind the Dolphins or the Jets or something, then that's a whole different thing.
I love psychoanalysis, and this is it's been a really interesting week for this, because I do think, if it's not too like dramatic or ridiculous even to say, I do think how you feel about this says something about you. And that's what you're saying here there's just not enough really on the line here for me to be afraid enough to get like super into it.
Right.
And I know myself well enough to recognize that I like that about this week. I have nothing to lose, and that makes me feel good. That's safe. I like safe. I need safe. And I know that there's no... I said it right away this week. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Well, I'll be 8-3. Wow. Terrible.
Right.
It's still November.
Right.
I mean, so I like that. I don't like being exposed. I don't like feeling that, you know, like I'm really putting myself out there. And that is kind of, this is a form of that. I would also say, too, since we're on this kind of track for a minute, all of it maybe is a form of misery. Liking sports.
Sure.
Seriously liking sports.
Yeah.
Like, because your team usually loses. Like, usually.
Yeah.
In our case, always,
right.
So far, but usually most teams lose every year.
Right, and that is, you know, not to be too weird about it, but that's the bond. You know, that is the communal commiseration, you know, of the healing, like getting over it, just complaining about it, being mad, like, to whatever level, and that, to me, keeps you coming back. Again, I don't think like people are going to walk away if the Bills win this game or win the Super Bowl. It just tilts it everything, you know, very much on its axis, I think,
well,
if and when it happens.
I mean, we hope to someday find out personally and professionally. I want to know
because
they're going to move to a new stadium that will be gorgeous, but people are just out of their minds trying to figure out how to pay for it. The PSL piece of it and like... It just doesn't it's the way it goes in pro sports, especially in the NFL, but it really just does not make sense for Buffalo. Like, it's just the cognitive dissonance of that stadium will be a thing. And we're told we have to have it. The people are going to pay. We're all paying for it. It's like this or lose the team, I guess, which is a very sad, helpless feeling for something that's so beloved like the Bills are. But it's how it goes, and most season ticket holders are going to bend over backwards to pay through the nose to sit in there, and they'll even be cold, you know, and get snowed on and rained on, but they're going to do it because this is our lives, and it'll be too nice. It'll just be too nice. And you're telling me if they win a championship before that, you know what? I'm good. I think I'm good. I got the thing I never had. I got the ring. That's what I'm here for. I don't need another one. I don't need, you know, to feel like I'm living in some other world.
Boy, I would love. Maybe we'll find. Maybe they'll win it this year or next year.
The Bills have to make sure they do not win a championship this year or next year.
I wonder if they have some formula. I wonder what they think would happen. Like, if they won. Like, will people start climbing over each other to get there, or will the opposite happen? Like you said, like, you know, it's a big check, and they did win, so, like, I don't know, I can watch it on TV. Or do people, like, just really need to be a part of it because they won? I wonder. I probably think it would be more of the latter, at least initially.
I mean, how many people who voted the way they voted because of inflation are going to pay thousands more to go to Bills games? A lot, you know.
Right.
It's just, oh, I have to pay for football.
Right.
I mean, I'm struggling to pay for gas, but I have to pay for football. How do we get here in 10 minutes? I'm sorry. That's not Bill's. What happened? We'll edit this out in post. That'll all just be on the podcast for the subscribers.
I don't know why they put that in the script today. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, it's definitely not our fault. So no Kincaid.
Right.
Do you care?
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to have as many of my good players as possible. Like, I don't really feel like, you know, him not busting out in a way that would be really newsworthy, like, around the league. means he's not a helpful, useful player to have on the team. I mean, I think he makes, even if it's modest, there are plays each week he makes that, you know, I think are useful, helpful, and I don't know that they got, you know, I don't know that I trust Quentin Morris or Knox to necessarily make the plays he's been making for them. Yeah, I would rather have all my guys. You know, I think watching that Belichick breakdown, it's only a couple series of plays that you're talking about, but, you know, here it looks like they're doubling Kincaid and they're doubling Diggs. Like, you know, this is last year. The fact that Kincaid warrants that kind of attention makes me wish he were on the field for this game.
Okay.
You know, because I don't know, you know, we might be missing how he impacts game plans defensively because of, you know, some modest stats and no real big, like, oh, wow, did you see that game from him? I still think I feel the loss. I was hoping, I wasn't optimistic, but I was still holding out hope, you know, he'd get there. I did feel all week as though Cooper was even more important than him because of Coleman being out. But I'm having a hard time, thinking about this game being a game where really either offense really gets after it. You know, like any idea that this will turn into like a 13 seconds type game. I just have a hard time seeing it. The Chiefs have not been that team really all year. The Bills have been in pockets, but they really just don't have all their dudes. And I think, you know, I think Kansas City can probably take away one or two. And if I don't have the depth, you know, that's where Kincaid, I think, would have come in handy. Maybe that frees up Shakir in spots. But without Kincaid, I feel like Shakir and Cooper, like that's really who I'd be focused on if I'm the Chiefs. And I think you can probably manage that. And on the other side, I mean, it's Kelce, who's been fantastic his career, and of course, even just against the Bills specifically. I don't feel like there's a ton else that I got to be really worried about. The Chiefs pushing it down the field on me. Mahomes and Worthy have not really connected. I mean, he's capable, certainly, of getting open. We've seen him open. We've just seen Mahomes miss him. I don't feel like the Bills have all their dudes.
I don't like this game for Kansas City's offense very much at all, which is a very unsettling feeling. Because I know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't. I mean, the Bills have the corners. Does that matter? Does that help the Bills that much in this game? Like, are they throwing down the field outside? Not really. I mean, that's not... So the Bills might not get the most out of that advantage. It'll be over the middle, and that can happen. Like Kelce, Hopkins,
right?
That can happen. I think Kareem Hunt is terrible. I mean, he's just been terrible. He's out of the league for a reason. They brought him back when Pacheco got hurt eventually because like they know him and they're getting into the red zone and he's scoring touchdowns for them, but his efficiency is horrendous. And I think every team wants to run on the Bills, and a lot of them are pretty good at it. It can be like last week where Taylor busted an early big run, but really after that didn't do much. And like we talk about a lot, the Bills, to say the least, maybe can live with giving up running plays. Like if you have Patrick Mahomes on your team, you want to hand the ball to Kareem Hunt, knock yourself out.
Right.
Like that's I'm fine with that. I think that works both ways with these teams. But I just don't think Kansas City is likely to... Like, Pacheco in the playoff game was a problem.
Yeah, that's a big play threat.
Right.
And Hunt is really not that.
He's the farthest thing from that.
Right.
He's slow and just... This is great for the Bills if that's how Kansas... If Kansas City thinks, because of the matchup, that that's what they need to do. I mean, good luck. I don't see the Chiefs having much success running the ball in this game because... He's so bad. He tests the running backs don't matter thing. I mean, it's relative. So I don't like that for them. And then really what they are, it's going to have to be like 10 play drives, which, okay. I mean, Mahomes has turned the ball over this year. This defense, I mean, they're getting pressure. Rousseau, Miller. I'm kind of a little bit weirdly, maybe too confident about the Bills' defense in this game. And I also think if they're sharp early, which has not been common, the Bills' offense, if they get ahead, I think they could run away with it. I think that, you know, the Kansas City has been just like the pressure of this season and these close wins, which a lot of people, I think, are finding funny. And they're asking whether or not the Chiefs are immune to the kind of close game stuff that all the other teams have to live with. They're not. It's not. There's not a physical way where that could be real. Like, they're going to get spanked here at some point, and they're going to lose close games. And it's another, you know, if you agree, I guess. If you don't, then you don't. But if you agree, I guess, then it's another reason for the Bills, for all of us, to take the game seriously. Because, like, a win puts you right there next to them in the standings with the tiebreaker. And they both have some easier-looking games than harder-looking games. But Kansas City has just not been dominant at all, other than, like, historically, you know, over the years. So I think a kind of an easy win is in the range of outcomes for the Bills. And I doubt it is for the Chiefs. They're just not scoring. They're on the road. Any game can be a turnover game, and that just sort of makes it stupid, and anything can happen when that's the case. Apart from that, I think the chances of, like, the Bills winning double digits, maybe conservatively, is real, and I don't know for Kansas City. We've got our guest Sam Paniadovich coming up, who also writes for Fox, and his play in this game, or what he wrote, is to tease Kansas City. Joe maybe mentioned that yesterday too, like, tease the Chiefs up to 8.5 point underdogs. I would not do that. I'm not the pro like these guys.
Right.
I would not do that because I think kind of an easy Bills win is possible. You know, like a big score.
Yeah, I'm sure like hearing that. I'm not sure I see their offense really being able to do that to this Kansas City defense. Now, recognizing that any game can get sideways. I mean,
well, that's right too.
The Ravens hung 35 on the Bills, and, you know, the Bills have a somewhat excellent defense. So, you know, on any day, like, that can happen. But I feel like without their full complement, you know, missing Coleman, missing Kincaid in the passing game, they've leaned into that sixth offensive lineman look, two tight end stuff. I just have a feeling the Bills are going to really take the Kansas City run defense out for a ride. Like, let's see how good you are. Like, your numbers are good. You've had good success. We ran down their success against number one running backs yesterday. You looked it up, and they've done a great job. Jackson got him in the opener for a lot of yards, you know, running quarterback, but Henry was in check, and mostly that's the case all year long. I think the Bills have kind of leaned into this power deal with Alec Anderson as a sixth offensive lineman on the field, and they've used that on the season 15% of the time. I don't know. Something tells me I wouldn't be surprised to see that tick up above 20.
I don't
in this game.
I wouldn't be surprised either, but why I ask about Kincaid, like, do you care? It's sort of a flippant question, is because he is not a tight end. Like, he is not somebody that helps them do that. Anderson has, you know, but Kincaid is in my way for anything I want to do. Which I don't mean, like, negatively toward him. It's just I can't have my slot receiver, Shakir, who's my most efficient player, really maybe to the fullest because I've got him on the field. Then I've got Knox, who stays on the field, and Hollins, who stays on the field. Right now, I'm Hollins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cooper, Shakir, Knox. And I think that's perfect. I think that's kind of how I want to be. If I had Coleman, I'd mix in Coleman. If I had Kincaid, I don't know. Like, I don't even know if I'd play him as much as 60% of the snaps. I like this. I like this.
Yeah.
So he's good, but it's just so complicated. Convoluted is a better word. The Bills offense with all the eating, the snacking going on. Well, Here's to it. Bills 2-46. Interesting for all my annual sarcastic attitude about Ravens-Steelers game that's the higher total.
Yeah, right.
That game's 48.5. Buffalo's 46 against Kansas City. And the game I'm describing with the Chiefs having the ball, the game you're describing with the Bills having the ball, that's an under.
Yeah.
That's 20-17.
Yeah.
Something like that. Sam Patijatovic, BetQL Daily. Next, Matt Verderam today. We had Matt scheduled for Wednesday. He had a conflict. We'll talk to him. Covers the Chiefs about the matchup. And Sal will join us at 4:30. 5 o'clock hour will be calls today, which hopefully is fun. And we'll have picks at 6. Football Friday on WGR continues with Sam after a break. It is time for a break. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been, seven or so games since that 2017 meeting. So it's a lot in a small window of time since 2020, I believe. It's, you know, a lot of respect for them, and certainly they've won quite a few championships. And, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity this weekend. It should be a good game and a good matchup.
I mean, I guess you could say that. It should be a good matchup. I'm with Sean McDermott on this. He kind of says that every week, but I'm with him on this in this case.
This time it holds up.
Sean McDermott on WGR earlier today. Anything you missed, check it out on the Odyssey app. On the line now, the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Sam Panayotovich. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today. I mean, right now on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more. Just search, wait for it, BetQL Daily. Wherever you find your podcast.
That's the way. That's sharp right there.
Sam, let me just start with this. If I might, I did something today I would not recommend for sane people.
Okay.
I bet the Browns to make the playoffs. 50 to 1.
Whoa. Why?
He loves to lose, Sam.
He does.
He loves to lose.
50 to 1. Isn't there going to be a pretty bad AFC playoff team that you're like, wow, this is bleak? And at 2-7, okay, probably not. Why it's 50 to 1? You know, Sam, you got to explain to people that's a good price. So
I love the price conversation because you're right; it's a good price. There's a reason the price is that high.
Yes.
So they got Steelers, Broncos, Steelers, Chiefs, Bengals, Ravens on the schedule. You did look at the schedule, right?
I did. It's a bet against Pittsburgh. They play them twice in the next 4 weeks. And let's see. I'm remembering now my grandmother when she was maybe in her 90s.
Wow, this segment is a ride already, Sam.
She claimed to have seen an ad on public television for like a $20 car. And my father was just beside himself. He's like, what is this car going to do? It's a great price, but what you actually expect to drive a car that costs $20 or something like that? It was $100. I don't even know. But it was just like he was just... absolutely perplexed by this idea. Maybe this is akin to buying, you know, a $100 car. I don't know, but
I can tell you that two things. Number one, 50-1 is the price for the Browns to make the playoffs. It's also the exact same price as Caleb Williams to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Do you think that's going to happen?
I'll go first. No.
Can we do a minute on that? Can we do a minute on that?
I'm gonna get to my second point. My second point is one time my grandmother put it wasn't warm at the time. She put a glass of milk in the microwave for like 20 minutes. It exploded and ruined the microwave. So there's my grandmother's story.
So who will win offensive? Does it have to be Daniels anymore?
It doesn't necessarily have to be, but I mean, mathematically, we're talking about a guy who has, you know, about a 90% chance to do it. Now, injury would negate a lot of that price. And, you know, I heard this rumor, like, well, he had a cut on his hand. I'm like, shut up. We were talking about him as a Hall of Famer a month ago. Now he has a little cut on his hand and he can't perform. Like, I don't want to hear it. I hate how we elevate these rookies too quick. That's a different conversation for a different day. You know who's on line two right now? Bo Nix.
Yeah.
And that's, look, I mean, Jaden Daniels to date has been better than Bo Nix. I'm not going to wiggle out of this and say that, you know, Nix is better than Daniels, because that's ridiculous. But in terms of the playoff standings right now, the Broncos are on line seven in the AFC, and the Commanders are on line seven in the NFC. Statistically, Daniels much better, but the more film there is on him, the easier it's been to prepare for him. He's going to have better numbers than Nix, but what happens if Denver wins a playoff spot and Washington doesn't? I think we do have to have that conversation. Bo Nix, you can find like 14-1 right now. I'd certainly rather bet that than lay 2,000 to win 100 on Daniels, but what a fall from grace for Caleb, guys. Holy cow. I mean, number one overall pick, preseason favorite to win the award, and now 50-1 through 10 weeks. That is abysmal.
Another thing against Daniels is this rib injury. Like, there's been a lot of conversation after they're in primetime last night, and he's just not as dangerous running as he was prior to the injury. The splits on it are pretty stark.
He's not doing it.
Right. Because he just, you know, I'm assuming he's not quite right and probably won't be. I mean, it's just the kind of thing that happens. So he's still playing to his credit and being effective throwing the ball, but his numbers are not what they were, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
It'll be a fun race. I would love to see some competition. I don't think minus 2,000 is the right price. You know, some books are a little bit lower on Daniels. You know, the race I can't wait for, and I sent Michael this maybe a month ago. I bet Barkley at a couple prices. I have him like 20-1 and 30-1 to win the offensive player of the year.
Wow.
Guys, that market is going to be a freaking war between Derrick Henry and Barkley. So Henry at MGM is even money, plus 100. Barkley is $1.75. The gap is tightening severely. Pittsburgh also is number two against the run. And Pittsburgh can maybe negate a lot of what he does this weekend. It's going to be a fun race, though, between Henry and Barkley. I will, at the end of the season, because you know I'm like handcuffed in my house right now during football. I can't go anywhere. But if Barkley can win this award, I'm going to win a lot of money. I will come out to Buffalo and take the boys out. That will happen. Right.
Wow, look at
now,
you.
Now I'm involved.
Yeah, wow. What do I need to happen again? Barkley. Okay, go Barkley.
Could anybody else win? Chase? Jefferson? Could anybody else win?
It feels like you could probably draw the line there. And then I also heard this guy in Vegas who bets professionally say, well, what happens if Allen wins the MVP and they give Lamar the offensive player of the year? And I thought, don't give me that. I don't want to hear that right now. But, it does sort of make sense. I also laughed, too. A month ago on the show, we were talking about Lamar and Mahomes. Lamar has 26 touchdowns, I believe. Mahomes has 13. Total. But to think that Mahomes is the MVP of the league continues to be hilarious to me.
7-1 now. Can we talk about MVP now for a minute? So Jackson is close to even money, which is pretty good. Allen plus 375. How would you, like, with how you're feeling about Sunday, Sam, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, then Kansas City, Buffalo, there'll be some movement here. I mean, maybe a lot, depending on how Sunday goes. Is the MVP stuff something you would kind of want to play like an advance line or something, given how you feel about Sunday, or maybe not?
You know, I'm not involved. I have Allen at 9-1. I'm very happy about that, given where his current market is. I mean, this could change, but it could also stay the same. If both teams win, if Baltimore and Buffalo both win, nothing's going to change that much. If both teams lose, nothing's going to change that much. Where you'll see the big shift in the market is if Josh Allen comes out, you know, scores 3 touchdowns, beats Kansas City, hands them their first loss, and the Ravens lose to the Steelers, then we're talking about Monday morning, Josh Allen is favored to win the MVP.
Right.
But, if you're shooting the barrel at bad numbers, like if you're getting involved now for the first time on Lamar or Josh Allen at even money and 350 or 4-1, you're not getting a fair shake. You're literally jumping on the end of the train as the train is ripping away from the station. But, you know, Jalen Hurts has moved quite a bit. He was 40-1 3 weeks ago. Now he's 12-1. I don't think it's Burrow because they just can't win. They can't win any games or win enough, rather. I just wonder, man. I wonder if Allen, like we talked about this last week with Bulldog. I was like, how are we feeling? Are we nervous yet? Are we nervous? And he's like, not yet, not yet. How do we feel about Bills Chiefs? I need to get the pulse of the room.
We're having a weird week, Sam, because for me, and I only speak for myself, I don't know, my sense is I have a significant amount of company within the fan base, but certainly not every, because there's always a, I want to win every game and I want to kill them because I hate Patrick Mahomes and like whatever. For me, I can't shake the feeling of waking up Monday morning with the Bills 8-3 having lost to Kansas City and still having a 4 and maybe even still a 5-game lead in the division. Like without a fire burning beneath my feet, I can't get all wrapped up in the anxiety of how I know this is a big game. It's a great matchup and it matters for the seeding. I mean, the Bills still have a look at the 1 seed. So like I certainly want them to win and I recognize the, the value of the win. The equation isn't complete for me if the downside doesn't exist. And I don't feel like there's that much downside.
It's hard to really get involved for me from a betting standpoint at the current number. Buffalo, 2.5-point favorites. People won't want to hear this. I think if you can do a 2-team 6-point teaser, holy cow, Kansas City out to 8.5, tease that with somebody else, that's probably a winner. I'm not saying the Bills are going to lose. I don't know that Buffalo is going to win by 10 or more. I mean, the injury list is important. Kincaid's status is important. I saw that Coleman's out again, right?
And Kincaid is already out. Yeah. So
and then what's up with Cooper? I mean, like it's hard to envision Buffalo winning by double digits with potentially all three of those guys not being a factor. But look, this defense has still been very good. Mahomes has not been great. I've been saying that all year. I still think you guys can win. But even in victory, I don't see a big win, and I think that's fair.
I think they can win this game 24-10. I think that kind of game. Kansas City's offense, it's got to be – the Bills can be vulnerable in this area, but it's got to be Kelce, Hopkins, short to intermediate – I don't know what else they're going to do. Like, the running back is terrible. Their running game is super inefficient. They get in the red zone and he scores touchdowns, but that's kind of what teams want to do against the Bills. And I don't know. I don't love that for Kansas City here. And as good as the other guys are, I don't know, Sam, I'm guilty of this. And this is really not a homer take, I want to insist. But with the pressure that the Chiefs have felt pretty much week to week all season, and you've even got now the undefeated season possibility that people are talking about. It's not even that. It's just like how these games have been so close. They get down, and they've done all this winning, and I think maybe you go, oh, yeah, we're not here for this. Like, it's about January. They lost 6 games last year, right, and won anyway. So I think there could be that kind of game. The Bills have not been a fast-starting team, and that would help my confidence in this particular, on this particular take. But I do think Kansas City could really struggle offensively here.
Well, if that's the case, anybody driving around town right now thinking about what should I do, if you agree with Mike, what you do is you bet the Bills to win the Super Bowl at 8-1. Because if they do that, Mike, if they come out and win 24-10 and stifle Mahomes, You could kiss that 8-1 bye-bye. It will not exist. It will evaporate off the face of the earth. My big issue in the game is that Buffalo is going to try and run the ball a lot, and the Chiefs are top five against the run. That's my concern. But again, I'm not saying Chiefs win. Mm-hmm. I'm just teasing them from 2.5 to 8.5. But if you like Buffalo, guys, anybody listening right now, if you like Buffalo going into the game and you think they're going to win, bet them to win the Super Bowl, because that 8-1 goes down to 5-1 if they win.
Right. And those new to Sam, like, that's your ball game, is trying to figure out the best odds. You're not playing the MVP question for you is, yeah, well, I mean, I already have these bets placed, so I'm not doing anything with these guys right now, right? And, like, here with the Super Bowl bet is the same kind of thinking, which is, you know, get the most for your dollar, which, you know, of course, is great.
How do you feel about Pittsburgh and Baltimore? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Sam.
No, I'm just trying to find a good number all the time. Like, I'm doing less gambling and more betting than ever before.
Ooh, I like how that sounds.
Wow, I like how that sounds, too. Pittsburgh and Baltimore is the other big AFC game of the week anyway. I don't know, maybe just the second biggest game in the league overall. What do you think there?
I did take Steelers +3, even money. No juice, thank you. I love the even money bets. You know, this defense is I would argue the Steelers are as good on defense as the Ravens are on offense. Think about that for a second. Pow, there goes your brain. But also, Baltimore's defense, low-key, kind of sucks. And, you know, all Pittsburgh does at home is keep these games close. They're able to move the ball at a serviceable level. They can throw it down the field. They have weapons. They've got Pickens and Mike Williams. And I don't think this Baltimore defense is all that great. I took 3. Tomlin's awesome as a home dog. And I can tell you this. I talked to a guy in Vegas about 20 minutes ago. He said 9 of every 10 bets in this game are on Baltimore. Our sharpest players are on the Steelers. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to win, but I like to be on that side more times than not.
How about the total? How about a Raven-Steeler game having a higher total than Bills-Chiefs?
Did you see it moved up like 4 points? It opened 44.5, and now it's 48.5.
Wow.
Yeah, it will never be me betting over 48.5 when I saw it open 44.5. Right. That's insane. But the Ravens, they only have one under this year. They're 8-1 to the over.
Pretty good. Before you go, Sam, you're excited about tomorrow night, I think. Tonight.
Tonight's the big, huge fight. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. All the six-figure bets that I've heard are on Jake Paul. The most popular bet, Mike Tyson knockout round one. That's the number one public bet. It is what it is. I can't wait to watch it. And I hate to do this to your producer, Zach. I had Texas last week. I'm on Arkansas tomorrow, +13. Look out, Horns. You better be ready for this tomorrow.
Ooh, I had Texas last week. Did you say that on the air? I didn't know it if you did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Yeah. I convinced Bulldog that we're going to lay the 21.5, and they just...
Did you assume I had heard that? That's why I picked Texas?
No, you texted me, I think it had... Oh, no, I don't know when you sent me that. Anyway...
Saturday morning?
I knew Sam had mentioned it, so when I got the text from you, I knew it, but I didn't think, like, oh, Mike was listening or something.
Sam, I don't know your age. Have you ever seen a Mike Tyson fight?
I'm 30. How old am I? 35. I remember him at the very end in the 90s. I mean, the end of the strong run. So I do have to laugh. I've seen a lot of montages and video reels this week, like him training in the hallway and then him knocking some guy out in 1985. And I'm like, why is that in the montage? But I do remember the tail end. I remember when he bit Holyfield's ear. I do remember that.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, obviously people are wagering on this. Is it being treated like a real sporting event? Like, what are we doing here exactly?
So this fight has 10 times more betting handle than the UFC main event tomorrow. Think about that. 10 times more action on Jake Paul and Mike Tyson than on John Jones and Stipe, which is tomorrow night at the Garden. I think Paul wins. I don't even like Jake Paul, but MGM's letting you lay 200. You could parlay that with a couple things. Moneyline parlays, Jake Paul with this, Jake Paul with that. I don't like it, but I think it's going to happen.
Jake Paul with the Sabres tomorrow in Philadelphia. What do you think?
It feels like not even a half step away from really betting on wrestling to me.
Well,
I don't know.
It always has been boxing. It always has been pretty close. You know, adjacent, we say, to wrestling. Okay. Sam, good luck this week.
You guys too. Good luck, everybody. Thanks. Right.
Sam Paniatovich, BetQL Daily, co-host with Joe Ostrowski, who joins us on Thursdays. BetQL Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Back to Bills Chiefs as we continue here on Football Friday, including a spot with Matt Verderam of SI.com coming up in about 15 minutes or so, I guess. I don't have to be too specific. Sal coming up today as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Football Friday, Bills Chiefs Sunday, 4:25. That's a long time before kickoff on a Sunday.
Yep.
Got to pace yourselves out there.
But you're going to get there early to be a part of the scene with the CBS NFL Today show coming to town.
Can you be a part of that? Can anyone just go be a part of that?
Well, I mean, they're setting up in a parking lot so that they, because normally I clicked on a story. I clicked on a story because it said, in historic move, CBS bringing inside the NFL to Orchard Park. I'm like, That's not this show. This show's not inside the NFL. It was just a bad headline. Anyway, so, but I got in there anyway because I was curious, like, what, is there another thing coming here besides the CBS show? But anyway.
Oh, I can expand my bit now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. That's not an HBO show. It's been on like the CW or something lately.
CBS is bringing the Bear to Buffalo. Sure, it's on Hulu, but they're still doing it.
Right. There you go. Hey, Maddie Matheson has a restaurant in Ridgeway, so, you know, he's not that far. You know,
the Bear's already here.
There. Yeah, the Bear's already nearby. That's right. They're in the region. He's in the region. That was I talking about. Oh, the show. Normally, they would set up inside the stadium, but they're going to be out in the parking lot to try to get the... So I think they're going to be somewhere where people can gather. I imagine people will gather like they do for the Today Show way ahead of time so they have a place where they can be seen, you know, waving two on your side or four Buffalo or just giving the finger.
College Game Day is the comp you want here.
You're going to want to do there.
College Game Day is the comp you want here, right? Signs, if there's going to be a crowd behind these people, good. That's more fun. I thought they'd be in the stadium, too. We've been talking about it this week. And, like, when I asked you the other day, does it make the show any more watchable or interesting if they're just set up in there? But, I mean, if they're out with the people, that's definitely better. Good. Well, good luck to you, anybody out there who wants to try to get on an NFL pregame show. A lot of people have been on these shows.
Sure.
As, like, panelists.
Yeah,
they cycle through pretty good.
That's right. Yeah.
Matt Verderam, SI.com, on the big game. After the update, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.